Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Moving now to another story that we have been covering here on the Morning Mayhem, and that is the United Nations highest court that began yesterday a week of hearings into Israel's obligation to ensure and facilitate humanitarian assistance to Palestinian civilians in the occupied territories and particularly in Gaza. Now, these hearings come in response to a resolution that was passed last year by the UN General Assembly asking the International Court of Justice, the ICJ, to weigh in on Israel's legal responsibilities after the country blocked UNRWA, the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, from operating on its territory. The hearings opened as the humanitarian aid system in Gaza is reportedly nearing collapse. No Israeli representatives have attended the hearing. The Israeli Foreign Minister Gideon Saar decried them as part of a, quote, systematic persecution and delegitimization of Israel. Now, with me to discuss this further is Professor Henny Strydom, who is a professor of international law at the University of Johannesburg and also holds the South African Research Chair in International Law. Professor, thanks so much for joining us. I want to start by asking you a question that many of our listeners would ask, and it's simply, why is Israel obligated to feed its enemy Hamas?
Yeah, I think the problem goes wider than that. Good morning to you and the listeners. One of the events that caused this process now to be unfolding is the actions of Israel that Israel took against the UN Relief Agency way back. And that caused the General Assembly to ask for a legal opinion from the court to bring clarity regarding Israel's international law obligations to allow the agency to perform its relief functions in Gaza. So this is not a question of feeding Hamas. It's a question of allowing a relief agency of the UN to perform its functions. That's one of the issues. But there is a broader issue of bringing in or allowing in humanitarian aid to the Palestinian population. So that is the background and the context within which these hearings are taking place at the moment. And of course, the court will hear, my information is there will be 40 states making presentations to the court and bringing evidence to the court. And it's that evidence that the court will eventually take into account in deciding or giving a legal opinion on what are the obligations that Israel has under international law.
But Professor,
to allow the relief, yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No problem.
I think the context is important as well, because yes, it is about feeding the Gazans, but Israel claims that the relief agency responsible for that, UNRWA, is staffed by Hamas, and Israel is at war with Hamas. So it's not an independent, objective body that Israel is criticizing and refusing to deal with in Gaza. It's part of a body that works for its enemy. Surely that is relevant.
Yes, certainly. I know about these allegations, and in response to that, which were raised last year already by Israel in justifying the actions that it took against the relief agency, the agency has undertaken an investigation into that, and 9 of its members were then dispelled. So apparently they were sort of tarnished by the evidence, and that's why the relief agency got rid of them. And you're quite right. I mean, this is the kind of evidence that should also come before the court, for the court to make an assessment on what is the situation now after that disciplinary action has taken place, and whether that the allegations that raised by Israel are still valid in the current context. So, and I hope that that part of the story will also feature in the hearings or the proceedings that are now taking place.
Professor, you are not on the ground in Gaza. I'm not on the ground in Gaza. But one hears conflicting reports. One hears reports from the Gaza side, and these are supported by UN organizations that Israel argues are still being staffed and supported by Hamas. And they'll say that the Gazans are starving. And then on the other side, you'll hear from mostly Israeli sources that this is not true. How important is it for the court, when it makes its legal deliberations, to actually have an objective view on whether Gazans are starving or not?
It's absolutely essential for the court to, you know, to get to the bottom of this whole thing. And you're quite right. You and I are hearing two different stories, and sometimes three different stories. And it's very difficult for us, not being on the ground, to make a proper and objective assessment. But saying that, I think it's therefore extremely important for Israel to put the evidence before the court. For the court, in order to be in a position to say, okay, this is a situation and I'm now going to decide on that basis. Without that evidence, there's only one side that the court has before it in order to make a decision. So I think it's very important for Israel to come forward with the evidence to justify its allegations.
But, and here I'm presenting the Israeli argument, Israel, while having submitted written evidence, is not participating in the court. Yesterday we heard from the Israeli foreign minister saying that it's a circus and it's politicized. Do you think that Israel is short, I forget what the word is, but is it almost selling itself short by not participating in these court proceedings, bearing in mind that the Israeli argument is that by participating, it gives legitimacy to something it regards as a circus?
No, you're quite right. I mean, that is not, it does not help Israel at all. It's making the case against Israel worse. So it has a right. It has a right to present evidence, and it should use that right. And it is selling it short, as you've rightly said. So otherwise, it can't afterwards say, well, the court was biased, et cetera, et cetera. If it doesn't participate in the proceedings, then it will have to suffer the consequences. And let me tell you why this is very important. There is now a new round of requests for warrants of arrest against individuals on the Israeli side and possibly also on Hamas side. That I don't know. So the evidence that will be presented to court now could become relevant for the International Criminal Court in assessing the requests for warrants of arrest. So it has wider implications than merely the proceedings that are now taking place before the ICJ.
And Professor, as a last question, there are 44 countries that are involved in these hearings. If the court does decide that they are right and that Israel is wrong, what kind of arm of the law do they have? What can they actually do to Israel?
Well, the only thing that the court can do, and it's very important that that we understand what the powers of the court are. I mean, it cannot on its own volition or will enforce the decision. What it will do, it will bring out a legal opinion, and that legal opinion is not binding. So, but it sort of asserts what the legal position is, or confirms what the legal position is. So that in itself, I think, is an important aspect for the future or for the present. But it cannot take it any further than that. It's then for the international community of states, being members of the United Nations, to act upon it and see what they can do from their own side in order to bring an end to this dispute.
Professor Henny Stradom, Professor of International Law at the University of Johannesburg, thank you for joining us here on the Morning Mayhem and providing that insight. I do know that we're only expected to get a decision from the court in a few months' time, although those deliberations are likely to take up most of this week. But I want to highlight two points you made. The one is that the decision is not binding. And the other is something I hadn't thought of, is that there is a connection between what is brought before the court now and the impact it will have on separate cases of Israeli officials and Hamas officials being charged with war crimes and the implications of that.